Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is Rabbi Levi Avtzon. This is Rabbi Levi Avtzon, and we are here on the Verbringen every Tuesday. Today is the 21st of January, the 21st of Tevet. It's a privilege and an honor to be here with you. Hopefully we can bring together, talk together. And it's beautiful to get feedback. Pretty much every time I go to the shops, somebody will walk over, either they recognize my face or my voice, and acknowledge that they hear the show, give feedback. And I really appreciate it. It means a lot. Talking into the radio is unlike pretty much any other medium. You're talking into the microphone, and you have no idea who you're impacting, when you're impacting. You don't know the crowd. You don't know what you're resonating, what's not resonating. And you just hope. You know, each time before I get on the radio, I think to myself, dear God, Hashem, let me say the right thing for this time. And how do I know? In other words, maybe there's one listener that needs to hear something today. And the best we can be is simply trying to share truth and trying to make sense of the world around us from a Torah perspective and hope that it resonates somehow. So where are we today? We are in the midst of so much. I mean, from a geopolitical perspective, the world is, wow, like just a process. Trump's back in the White House. There's some form of ceasefire going on in Gaza. 3 hostages came home. Lots of terrorists were released in exchange. There's so much going on in the Holy Land. There's so much going on in international politics, local politics, etc. But as always, it's healthier not to focus on the macro, in which we have very little say and very little. As important as we think it is, it's much less important than the micro, our own little worlds. I've said this before, but I believe it, you know, each day I get more convinced of it, that we need less people out there trying to change the world and more people trying to change themselves. Go change the world, which is said at every matric farewell or every graduation from university, or even bar mitzvahs or bat mitzvahs or weddings. Like, you could change the world. You have everything it takes. And I'm like, way too many people trying to change the world. And most people that try to change the world change it for the worse. So I'm not saying nobody should change the world. First of all, very few people can. Second of all, very few people can do it in the right way. And it's very hard to change the world for the good if you can't change your own life for the good. Get your own life in order. It doesn't mean we can't try to make an impact on the people around us, etc. But this perspective that we're all here to change the world, and if we sit there posting something on Twitter or TikTok or Instagram, and like, you know, we're going to share our truth, we're going to change the world through that, that's a fantasy, and it never happens, and it never, and it's a lie. It's a lie that we tell us that we're all sent here to change the world. No, God sends us to light up our little worlds, to get our own little world in order, to get my own day, right? You know, I remember listening to that speech from, I think it was a U.S. Army general who says, just make your bed in the morning and then go on and do a bunch of other small things, and together you'll have a very productive day. We love the big stuff. We love the macro. We love talking about big politics, like, you know, how's Trump going to affect this and how's that going to affect that, and what's going to do the stock market, and it's going to do the Bitcoin, and or we love talking about celebrities and their lives and digging into the rubbish, etc. We often gravitate towards the big stuff, right? Reading tabloids about celebrities we never meet and who will never know us. Right. In general, our relationship with politicians and celebrities is the ultimate definition of a one-way relationship. We spend our whole day thinking about them and they don't even know we exist. which is just ridiculous. Like, imagine literally spending your whole day, you know, analyzing your favorite celebrity or politician and convincing yourself you have a full-on psychological profile and you know everything about them, or your favorite sport player. You're obsessed with your favorite, you know, soccer player or rugby player, and you know everything about them, their birth date and their ratios and their wins and their assists and their this and their that, and they don't even know you exist. We love getting lost in the big stuff. But fundamentally, our call in life is to get our own house in order. Get our own mental health as healthy as possible, our own spiritual health as healthy as possible, our own family as healthy as possible, our relationships with our family and our friends as healthy as possible, and then eventually extend it to the community. And if you've done that, you've lived an accomplished life, a very accomplished life. We were told a lie, especially those of us born in the modern era, that the more that people know you and the more famous you are, the more important you are. And it's a lie. People knowing your name is not what's important. It's people that's loving you that's important. It's people that impact you, right? Often you'll talk about you will never be forgotten, and people that whose name will go down in history. Well, there's a lot of tyrants that will never be forgotten, but that's not the litmus test of impact. The litmus test is ultimately who I've moved, who I've touched, whose life I've enriched. And that's one person after another person, especially the people closest to us. And you could have 10,000 people following you on Instagram and not have one real friend and not have one real family member to come home to and just talk through the day. And for me, that's not the goal. The goal is ultimately to get our own house in order. That's why, just the start of the show, I just felt it was very important to, when so many global macro things are going on, to not lose sight. That's not the real story. The real story of yesterday is not that Trump's president. The real story of yesterday was how was your day? And how was my day? Did I grow? I'm not saying the big stuff isn't important, but it's not nearly as important for our own purpose as our own journey. The president of the United States, he's on his journey, and I wish him all the best. And the prime minister of Israel is on his own journey, and I wish him the best. As far as I know, he hasn't called me yet to ask me my perspective, and I'm entitled to my own perspective, and I do have to figure out my own value systems. But fundamentally, instead of spending most of my day trying to figure out big picture questions, my first calling is figure out my own life. How can I be a better human being, better man, better husband, better father, better brother, better son, better rabbi, better friend? And that's where it matters, and that's where it counts. How many people know of us? Not nearly as important. But what have we done in this world? What matters is not what people think of us. It's what matters of is what Hashem, God, thinks of us. And what we, in the deepest recesses of our soul, what we know about ourselves. In other words, I remember hearing it once. Every day we should do at least one act of kindness that no one will ever know about. Only us and God. Just to train ourselves. And not live for the limelight. Not every act of kindness you have to do has to go straight to TikTok. Sometimes just do because it's right. Because ultimately, that's all that matters. My conscience and my God. This is 101.9 Chai FM in honor of the song, in honor of the release of the hostages, and in prayer for release of more hostages, our sisters and brothers, and hopefully without too much of a cost, and in good health. I'd like to play the song, V'shavu banim ligvulam, that the children should all come home, the promise that God gave to one of the matriarchs, Rachel Imenu. V'shavu banim l'gvulam, all the children will eventually come back home. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
V'shavu banim l'gvulam, children coming back home. There's nothing more beautiful than seeing children come home. On the other hand, we're also aware of the huge cost of bringing them home. Today I want to talk about coming home. Not so much about the hostages, but each and every one of us. There's something that touches at the heart of each and every one of us when we see people come back to where they belong, people coming home. On the same day that the three girls were released, there was also a soldier who was killed 10 years ago, Oron Shaul, that was brought back from Gaza to be buried 10 years later, 10 and a half, I think. And there's something deeply, I wouldn't call it satisfying because he wasn't alive, but even the family said it brought an incredible amount of peace and serenity to be able to bring him back, get buried next to his family in his land, coming home. And a lot of plays, movies, series, they often sit around the theme of somebody that's trying to figure out where they belong and who they are. And eventually, if the story has a satisfying ending, it's they have some form of answer. They find their place in this world. They know why they're here, and they find their peace. It's often the heart of a good story is someone struggling with their role in this world, who they are, with who they belong, etc., and finally finding that sense of an answer. And life is not always as simple as that, but it definitely makes for a good story, and it definitely has a resonance. And the reason is because I believe deep down each and every one of us knows that we all belong somewhere, right? The hostages belong with their family. Or if those that were killed, they belong to be buried where the family wants them to be buried so that they can access their grave and pray there and spend time there. We belong at home. It's a place we belong. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, so what does that say about us? If we resonate so deeply with these stories, other than the empathy, etc., I think there's something very much about this knowledge of coming home, coming and being true to who you are. Because let's be honest, there's nothing more frustrating than not knowing who you are and not being at peace with yourself, not being at home. Coming home is much more than just a physical space, although for the hostages, that's what they pray for. But coming home for each and every one of us, lashuv habayta, to come home, tshuva, to return, is to find yourself. You know, in this week's Torah portion, and we talk all about the Exodus in the coming weeks, and the Jews leave Egypt. It takes them a long time till they come home. Even when they're wandering in the desert, they often are pining. They're wishing to go back to Egypt. They don't feel settled. Even when they come into Israel, if you read the book of Joshua and Judges, it takes a very long time, if ever, that they fully settle into their role. Eventually the kingdom collapses, then they try again, they build a second kingdom, and that collapses as well. It's one of the hardest things, as a nation and as an individual, to be true to our identity. Each one of us is born with a different story. Each one of us is born with a different destiny. If you're a Jew, then you're part of the Jewish destiny. If you're from another faith or another race or another ethnicity or another story, then that's your story. And a person can only find serenity if they're true to their story. Obviously, not every story is worth following. You know, if someone was born to a Nazi father, that's not the story they have to take, you know, any inspiration from. On the contrary, run for the hills. I saw this incredible video about this German town. Like none of them are Jewish, but they are so pro-Zionist, it's unbelievable. They're putting on plays about the Exodus, with a boat to Exodus heading to for the establishment of the State of Israel, I believe. And they're so pro because they found their identity in redeeming their ugly past. These are all children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren of Nazi war criminals. But the point is, every one of us has a story, and our story is to either walk towards it or to walk away from it. But that's our identity, and that's our story. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, we're told lies that our story doesn't matter. And that's heartbreaking. In other words, that if, for example, okay, this is a Jewish radio station, you were born a Jew, you will only find inner peace if you accept that fact. You can't run from that fact, right? So many of us throughout history have tried. Oh, have we tried? We tried to convince the Germans that we're more German than the Germans. There were some Reformed synagogues in Germany before the war that they went through the prayer book, and every time that it was written that it said the word Jerusalem, they switched it to the word Berlin, because we're Berliners. We're Germans. We are more German than the Germans. So many of the Jews who fought in World War I and were so decorated, they could not believe the Nazis would come to them. But what do you mean? I am a German. I lost a limb for Germany. I am as German as anybody. And you think the Nazis gave two rats about that? Nothing. You can't run away from your identity. Often this anti-Semite, who's one of the darkest, if not the darkest soul on the planet, but one function they serve in a very unfortunate, sickening way. Just saw that they burnt down a preschool in Australia again. Another anti-Semitic incident. But one thing anti-Semite does is he reminds us that we can't run away from our identity. You could scream freedom for Palestine. You could scream whatever you want. No one's buying it. You could scream that you're not Jewish. No one's buying it. Because, and no one respects it. There's something very hard to respect about someone who denies their own identity and turns their back on their family. I've shared the story before, but it resonates. I mentioned part of the story last night at the shir, but I lost, in the Holocaust, like many Jews, we lost many, many family members. And personally, like, I lost very close family members. I mean, as close as my mother's oldest brother, who was a baby then, died during the war, not directly in the Holocaust, but from escaping and being forced to run away without food and drink, and then died from typhus at age 2 and is buried in Uzbekistan somewhere. But some of the family I lost was my great-grandparents, basically my mother's grandparents, my mother's mother's parents, and my mother's mother's brother, sorry, my mother's father's parents, my mother's father's parents, and my mother's father's sister and brother and their whole families. Like, 7 of them were shot and buried alive, many of them in a pit outside the city of Krasnostav, Ukraine. Ironically, Krasnostav, I believe in Ukrainian, means Red Lake, because of pogroms that happened years ago, that the river went red from all the people killed. And basically the whole Jewish community was wiped out, 950 plus, including a family that just before the war had converted to Christianity. It was a Jewish family that converted to Christianity. But in the Nazis' eye, that didn't make a difference. You could deny your reality, feel free. The Nazi never cared. He still saw them as a Jew. The point is, you can't run away from identity. First of all, why would you want to? Second of all, the person on the outside will never see you. The Nazi didn't say, oh, wow, you, the Jew, consider yourself more German than me? Oh, I accept that. Oh, you gave your life in World War I and you got the Purple Heart? Oh, of course I'll give you preferential treatment. It doesn't work that way. So coming home is much more than just hostages coming home, which is obviously something we all pray for. It's about all of us coming home and being true to ourselves, being true to our history, being true to our identity, and stop running away from our destiny. Each one of us was sent into this world by God, Almighty God. And we are called upon to live a life based on that truth, based on the fact that we are God's ambassador to this world and that we were sent here for a purpose. Before we were here, we were in heaven. But for some reason, God decided he wants us to not just be a soul, but to be a soul in a body. Souls can't accomplish a mission. They're just gliding through spiritual space. But a body, a soul in a body, faces challenges and can accomplish and can add light into this very complicated, messy, beautiful world. And when we embrace our role, whatever our role is, as a human, as an employer, an employee, spouse, parent, child, etc., whatever roles we have in this world, and we do it to the best of our ability in an ethical, moral way, we're living up to our calling. But if I deny, if I'm not at peace with my soul, if I'm not at peace with my purpose, I will not be at home. Right? We all know what the if you've been a teenager or you're raising a teenager, you know that part of being an adolescent often is this angst. I don't belong. This kid trying to find their own identity. Until now, they were hiding behind mom and, you know, very much saw themselves as part of their parents' identity. And then they're not an adult yet, so they don't have their own identity. And they're through this crazy phase where suddenly the parents are getting in their way, but like they know they want to burst into their own identity, but they're not sure what that identity is. It's a very, very frustrating phase for almost every teenager. But if they go through that phase and they find their identity, there's nothing more satisfying than that. And their identity is not necessarily their career. That might be a part of their identity. And it's a lie that we tell our children that if you know what you want to do and you know what you want to be, an accountant, a doctor, a lawyer, an architect, that's enough. Identity is much bigger than just our career. It's our spirituality. It's our sense of purpose. It's our interpersonal relationships and our knowledge, et cetera, our acts of goodness and kindness. So big. So the question is, can we come home? Come home to ourselves. As this song, Take the Time, so beautifully illustrate. This is Take the Time, originally by Mordechai Ben David, sung by Eli Marcus on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon on 101.9 Chai FM.
V'shavu banim l'gvulam, coming home, is really the theme of today. And coming home, as we've been talking about before this song, is very much about finding our own inner peace by being true to our identity and stop denying our identity. And in the modern world, that means a lot. Your identity, it's your preferences, etc. But I'm talking about identity in a very deep, profound way. And that is fundamentally, if you believe in God and you believe that God doesn't make a mistake, then you believe that God sent you in this world for a purpose. And the purpose is not only to find your own happiness and being true to your own happiness, but fundamentally being true to your destiny and your role. Destiny is the wrong word, because destiny almost feels like there's no free choice, but rather your role, your purpose. Hashem sent me, God sent you and I to this world because we have something to do here. And the question that we have to ask is what? I remember one time seeing an interview with the late Chief Rabbi Sacks, and they asked him, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? And he would say, God, what do you want of me? Not in like an attack way, like, what do you want of me? But rather, how can I serve you best? What's my purpose here? Because that's the single most important question in life. It's not if God exists. That's an important question. But eventually, when we work it through, when we realize, yes, he does, and that I rather take the road of faith than the other road. Then once I accept that God exists, even if I can't fully grasp him or grasp him at all, the most important question then that follows is, okay, so God created heaven and earth and he created me. And he's involved in my life and he knows exactly what's going on and he gave me my flaws and my strengths. And he set me up in this body, in this family, in this world, in this country, in this place, in this role. So now, God, how can I serve you best? What do you need me for? Not what do I need out of you, which is also an important question, but not nearly as important as what do you need me for, right? According to the great Kabbalists, even when we ask for our private needs, whether it's in the Amidah prayer or other prayers, we're not necessarily asking just God, give me health because I want health, but rather give me health so that I could serve you better. And give me sustenance, parnassus, so I could serve you better, so I could play my role. I'm not distracted. I'm not anxious about how I'm going to pay my bills. But God help me, I have a role in this world. And sometimes God's answer is, yes, sure, here's the money you asked for. And sometimes for whatever reason, I'm not justifying, I'm not explaining, I'm just saying. Sometimes God will say, no, the anxiety is the purpose for you to navigate that anxiety, that health issue, that financial issue, etc. But we could ask. But fundamentally, what we're asking is not just for our own sake. We're asking God, I have a purpose in this world. You woke me up in this morning. And thank you, that Modani. Thank you, God, for waking me up this morning. Now, how can I serve you best? What can I do for you, God? Right? It's not all about me. I'm not the center of the universe. The world doesn't surround me and my wants and my needs and my happiness. Fundamentally, there's something much bigger than me. And the truth is, as long as I think that the world surrounds me, I will not be happy because I'm living a lie, and you cannot be at peace if you're living a lie, if you're not living the truth, and that is that the world, that there's a purpose greater than me, and I'm here to serve that purpose. If I am told that's all about me and that I am the center of the universe, I will not find happiness because my soul knows I am lying. And when I do not live in congruence with my soul, if my soul and I are not in agreement, I will not be at peace. It's impossible. I could drown that, angst with the pleasures of this world. I could drown it. But the second I'm forced to face it, I will not be at peace. You cannot be at peace unless you accept your purpose in this world, whatever that purpose is. There's no big purpose or small purpose. It's just purpose. Some of us, our purpose is to take care of our elderly parent. And some of us, our purpose is to run a country. And some of us, our purpose is to be a teacher. And some of us, our purpose is to design beautiful homes that inspire people. Whatever it is, there's no more important or less important. It's your purpose. And that's all God asks us is live your place. Play in your game. But not for the sake of you being happy, but for the sake of fulfilling our mission in this world. We all come from the same place and we're all going to the same place. And the question is what we do, right? You know, the famous thing that rabbis say at funerals, that often on a gravestone, there's the birth date and the death date, and there's a dash in between, and that dash is everything. That dash is everything. What have you done in those years? Accumulated wealth so that your kids can waste it and you have to look down and see that? Have you built real, meaningful, healthy relationships? Have you forgiven? Have we overcome our character? Have we played our purpose? We might think that that annoying relative is the worst thing that ever happened to us, but we one day will have to face God, and we might find out that that annoying relative was our purpose here. And that act of kindness that we skipped over, right? Our sibling was literally couldn't pay their bills. I mean, well, we're holidaying in God knows where. And God one day will look at us and say, but the only reason I sent you into this world was to take care of your sibling. You lost the plot. Right? The Baal Shem Tov teaches us that for 70, 80 years, we're sent to this world just to do an act of kindness. It might very well be this act of kindness. And it's not a despondent thought. It's actually such a relieving thought to realize I don't have to do big changes in this world. I just have to play my part. And God, only God knows what's big and what's small. When we come up there, we might find that the person who we thought was the most insignificant in our life was actually in God's eyes the most significant. Because significance is not if you make it to the front page of a magazine and not how many people know your name. Significance is one thing. Have you played your part? This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson of Linksfield Shul. It's been an honor and a privilege to be with you on this Tuesday. Please, God, may this week, this coming week, bring good news and safety for all of us, for all our brothers and sisters, for all good people all around the world. May our hostages come home with no cost. And may we merit to see much happier days very, very soon, finishing off after the ad break with Happy Days Are Coming, one of my favorite songs. Have a great day. Have a great week. God bless.